We brought our daughter home last night from the hospital after a long stay. 21 days, 3 weeks we were in there, and that's the longest she's been in there in a long, long time, so it was tough on us. So I so much appreciate each and every one of you that have reached out to us and prayed for us. We feel the strength. I can't imagine what it would be like to go through something like that without you lifting us up. And so so thank you for that. Thank you for being here today on this gloomy Sunday morning. But I believe, I've been telling people this morning, I believe God's on the move. And I believe he has a word for you today. And we're in the middle of a sermon series called Journey to the Cross. We are 2 weeks out from Easter Sunday morning, and exciting times, very, very exciting times. I love, obviously, the Easter season and what it means. There's so many great traditions that we have, and I love that in the Easter season, the apex of the tradition is that we go to church and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I know there's some periphery things, some bunnies and some eggs, and some things like that. But the main thing is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. But leading up to that moment, going up until that day was a journey. And Jesus took that journey, a journey that began many, 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 many millennia before Jesus was ever born. God had an intent to rescue his people. He created us. He loved us. He formed us, the Bible says, in the womb. And he had a plan for us. We were very thoughtfully made. He had great purpose and intent when he crafted us. Regardless of who our parents are on the earth, regardless of how we came into the world, God had a plan for us. There was a beautiful, beautiful plan that he had for us that got abruptly and significantly interrupted when sin came into the world. And so Jesus journeyed to the cross so that you and I could be whole. We're not whole because life has broken us, and life has drained us, and life has rained on us and flooded us. Amen. Life is tough. Life is exhausting. We screwed things up. We faced troubling situations that we don't know how to solve and how to figure out. And so we find ourselves very broken and disconnected. And we find ourselves facing the consequences of our actions. There's always a consequence to an action, right? Newton's third law of physics says every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Any physics fans in here? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on. Yes. For those of you that are not, you can drop that on somebody later today. Did you know that Newton's third law says every action has an equal and opposite reaction? There's a cause and an effect. You don't wear deodorant, there's an effect to that. Come on. You stink. You don't brush your teeth, there's an effect to that. There's a cause and an effect. What's the effect? You stinky in your mouth and your armpits now, okay? We gotta work on this. You get cavities. You don't brush your teeth. There's an effect to that. You dive into shallow water, there's an effect. It's going to happen. Ooh, that one's painful. Bust your mouth, your teeth, hurt your neck. You work out, you get sore. Right? And you look in the mirror, nothing changed. But you're going to get sore if you work out. And there's going to be some growth. You work out, there's cause and effect. You swing and miss three times, you're out. Wow, y'all know that one. You're out. That's the effect. The cause is you're swinging and missing. The effect is you're out. You roll a gutter ball, you get 0 points. You're tardy, you get D-Hall. Do they give D-Hall anymore? Is that even a thing? I remember getting D-Hall in junior high because I was tardy a few times. Detention. There's an effect. You're late. How about you're lazy? You get fired. Nobody in the 8:30 service lazy though, right? You invest wisely, there's an effect to that. You invest, diversify your investments, and you're very wise about it, you could become wealthy. That's the effect of that. You don't pay your bills, there's an effect to that. The cause is you don't pay your bill. The effect is you get evicted. You can't live there anymore. They turn the power off. You pay your mortgage, you get to live there another month. Yeah, all right. That's good. You work hard, you can rest. You can retire. You kiss somebody. Y'all are nervous about that one. You get excited. Do y'all ever kiss any? Come on. I was looking down at my wife. She's not here. She's getting ready. She's coming later. Man, kiss her. Y'all don't kiss her, but when I kiss her, I get excited. The opposite is if you hit someone, what happens? Pain. Anger. All kinds of situations. You commit a crime, what happens? There's jail time for you. There's fines to pay. There's a consequence from that. There's a law of gravity, which is telling us that if you jump off of this stage, what's going to happen? What? You're gonna break them cankles. Is that what you said? Yeah. That's painful. There's an effect of gravity. You can't get away from it. So let me ask you this. What's the consequence of lying to someone? Lying to your spouse. All those things I talked about before are just sort of natural laws that happen. They're not really moral. They're just things that happen. They're just the way the world works. Gravity is not a moral thing. It's just the law of nature of what's happening here. And Newton's law is just it's physics. So it's just telling you that there's cause and effect. But then what about when we shift over to moral things? Holding information from a business partner. Consequence of that. Lying to a spouse, the consequence of that. Disobeying parents, there's a consequence to that. What about neglecting your kids? There's a consequence to that. After David slept with Bathsheba, this is an Old Testament story where the king was out on his porch looking out over the city and he saw a woman bathing. And, was very, very, entranced by her beauty. This would be the same in our day and time of some sort of, peeping Tom, some sort of thing that he saw on the internet, some sort of place where he was that he shouldn't have been. And instead of not being led into that temptation, he was led into it and summoned for her to come to his palace. And one thing led to another, and he had sex with her outside of his marriage. She was married to another man, and turns out she becomes pregnant. And David's very, very concerned about this. He starts to try to cover his tracks, and he calls for her husband to return from war, so that he can sleep with Bathsheba and sort of cover up this sin of his so that there would be no consequence to this sin. And he tries in his own way to deal with it, and it doesn't work. He won't go home to his wife Bathsheba. He will only stay in the courts. And so this upsets David. It doesn't work the way he tries to patch things up. And so he decides to have her husband killed so that he could legally marry her and cover it up that way. And after all of this unravels and the prophet Nathan comes to David and tells him, the truth about what has happened. And David wakes up. This is what David says, Psalm 51:1, purify me from my sin, for I have recognized my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Have you ever been in that place where you have done something wrong and it haunts you? You know you said something you shouldn't have said. You went somewhere you shouldn't have gone. You don't have to have it outlined in the Bible that it's wrong. You feel that it's wrong. You know that it's wrong. You've been arguing with your spouse. You've been selfish or prideful, been jealous or gossiping or backbiting with other people, or you have been withholding information or just trying to take a shortcut when you should be doing the right thing. You should have integrity, but instead you're not. And so there's this heaviness when finally we face the truth and the reality of our sin. And this is what David says that sort of surprises us. He says, against you, he's talking to God, against you and you alone have I sinned. Against God, he feels the weight of his sin. All sin begins with us not trusting God. I have done evil. I've done evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. What he's saying is, the consequence against me is going to equal what I have done. I have done something wrong, and there is an equal judgment that is coming my way that I deserve. In the New Testament, Paul tells the Romans, previously you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. In other words, you have sinned a little bit, but now you have been let go to it. You have become a slave to impurity. You've let yourselves go down this road that now it's just leading you deeper and deeper and deeper into this rebellion and into this sin. And he goes on to say in the same chapter that the wages of this sin, the consequence, the cause and effect, sin is the cause, the effect, the wages of sin, the consequence of sin is death. Whenever we rebel against God in some sort of moral situation, and it may not be that you cursed God, but it may be that you did something against another person here on earth. But yet, if you follow that sin to the heart of it, to the core of it, yes, you sinned against that person, but the ultimate sin is that you sinned against God and against his way, against his plan. The wages of that rebellion and that sin is death. He goes on to say, but, it's a big but in the Bible, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. So here's the deal today. Every decision we make, everything that we do has a consequence. There is a price to pay for everything that we do. Every decision we make matters. Every choice has an eternal consequence. Not just one for the moment, but an eternal one as well. So what do we do with the consequence? What do we do with these choices that we've made? I'm here to tell you today that Jesus journeyed to the cross. Jesus went all the way to the cross to absorb the consequences of your decisions and actions. Amen. Amen. Jesus went to the cross. His journey to the cross was so that he would take on and absorb, be filled with, carry the weight, the consequence, the effect of our choices, of our selfishness, of our rebellion. He journeyed to the cross to take that weight from us and to think of how grueling that must have been, not just for his own, you know, personal sin, or just one person's sin. Like if I were to go to the cross for my sin, that would be horrible and difficult. But to take on all the sins, all the weight, all the consequences of everybody's sin. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honor of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. I want to read verse 5 one more time. It's the gist of today's message that I want you to make sure you grab a hold of today. That Jesus took your spot. He journeyed to the cross, not for himself, but for you. We should be the ones journeying to the cross, journeying to our death, to take the consequence of our rebellion. And, you know, verse 4, it says that when you looked at someone like that from the outside looking in, you would say, well, he really messed up. Look what his life has led up to. He should have done this or that, and he wouldn't have been on the cross. Remember, even Peter, when he was with him, was like, no, you're not going to go to the cross. You're not going to go to the cross. No way. That would be a mistake. That would be wrong, because you don't deserve that. But he didn't go to the cross for himself. He didn't do that because he needed to do it for himself. He went to the cross because we need to go to the cross. We have to go to the cross. That is the consequence of our lying, of our cheating, of our gossip, of our pride, of our jealousy, of our ambivalence, of our laziness, of our selfishness. Even the smallest things that we do that are so selfish and so prideful and so petty. It's our journey to the cross. It's our place to go, to be separated from him forever and ever and ever and ever. But he was pierced for our sin. He was crushed for our sins, our rebellion. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. So here's the good news of the gospel. You're here today and you're unwhole. You're broken. Jesus paid the price for your wholeness. Jesus did everything necessary for you to be healed. He accomplished the task. He paid the bill. He was the substitute for you. When we cannot make it, he steps in for us. Just like the teacher can't be there today, so we have a substitute teacher. The athlete can't go back in, so they call in a substitute. Well, it just so happens that the substitute is much more capable than the star player. The substitute is flawless. The substitute is perfect. And I'm speaking to people in the 8:30 service that fought the rain and fought the gloominess and fought all that. I know you've heard this. I know you've heard this in your mind before, but I just hope that today Jesus' word will be sown into your heart. He's stepping in for you, so you don't have to do it yourself. How do we receive that wholeness? How do we receive that healing? He told us, remember what I did for you. Remember what I did for you. We take communion. We just took it last Wednesday night, the bread and the cup. What are we doing there? We're remembering what he did for us. And we're going to do it right now. We're not going to take communion today, but we're just going to remember right now what he's done for us. We're going to take a moment and say, thank you, Jesus, for walking that path that I was supposed to walk. Thank you for carrying the cross that I was supposed to carry. Thank you for dying in the place where I was supposed to die. Thank you for being separated from God like I was supposed to be separated from God. First Peter 2:24 says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were all like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. I'm here to tell you today, I'm not your shepherd. He is our shepherd. God is our shepherd. He is the leader of this church. He is the pastor of this church. Thank the Lord. Thank you, God. I don't have to be the hero here. I'm not the Savior. I mess up too. I need Jesus just as much as you do. Lord, we're here today to say thank you. We're here today, Lord, to humble ourselves before you. God, it would be such a train wreck to try to claim our righteousness, to try to put our stamp on this as though we have been good enough to earn your approval. Even coming to the 8:30 service is not good enough. Even coming to church in the rain is not good enough. But he's good enough. So this is the good news. You don't have to keep striving to get his attention. He has already done everything that needs to be done. You already got his attention, or he would have never gone to the cross. While you were sinning, he did the work that needed to be done for you to be healed and for you to be whole. And I see that healing being a temporal thing, like right here on the earth, and an eternal thing. And I see that wholeness being something that can happen right now, and it's going to happen for eternity. The healing and the wholeness that God is proclaiming over your life. He was pierced because of our rebellion. He was crushed for our sin. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. The original English version of that says, by his stripes we are healed. That's the Old Testament. Now that verse was written 700 years before Jesus actually came. But then 1 Peter, what I read later, is the New Testament. And that was written after Jesus gave his life for us. Let me read that one more time over you. And then we're going to sing a song. I'm going to ask Amelia, would you grab them and make sure they're, come on out. We're going to end a little earlier today. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. But by his wounds, you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Let's just take a moment right now to let the presence of the Lord move in this place. Even if you're watching online this morning, wherever you are in the world, whatever's going on in your life, I want you to know that Jesus walked the path that you were supposed to walk. I want you to know that Jesus paid the price that you were supposed to pay. He carried your sins. That day that he journeyed with the cross on his shoulder and then laid down on that cross, he nailed your to pain medication on that cross. He nailed your diabetes onto that cross. He nailed that hurt from the abusive relationship. He nailed it to the cross for you. The years that have been wasted, he nailed to the cross for you. He was bruised for you. He was crushed for you. He was struck for you, so that you don't have to keep carrying that burden. He says to each and every one of us here today, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. Come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He wants you to trade the heaviness that you've been carrying around for years and years and years and pick up a lighter, more perfectly fit mission in life. Would you just bow? bow your heads with me right now? Let's pray. And then I want us to sing. Just whatever you got. Lord, today's a special moment right here, right now, in your presence. God, we've come into this gloomy room today, and there's so much of our life that is trying to scream at us and tell us how we should feel and who we are as a person and what we should do and how we should spend our time. There's so much of the facts that are in our life that are trying to dictate who we are and what we should do. But we are exposed today to your word. And we want the truth of your word to speak into our brokenness, that you were crushed for our healing. You were broken so that we could be made whole. You went to the cross, God, in our place as a substitute for us. Let's just all right now say, Lord, I surrender to you. God, I give up to you. Please forgive me for trying to do it my own way. Come on, let's just repent before God right now. Lord, forgive me. I pick up your life, Lord. I pick up your power. I pick up your good news. I trust, Jesus, that you are so good. You forgive me of all my sins. Lord, I willingly hand you my life today. I trust you with the secrets of my life. I trust you with the sin of my life. I trust you with the question marks in my life. I trust you, Jesus. I give you my heart today. I give you my life today, in Jesus' name.